Yes, it's been a while since you've heard from me, but you know I'm a little sporadic and like to do my own thing. So, but I promised you the next episode would be different from the last two. So tonight I have, or today, whatever time of day, it's tonight for me right now, but I have a good friend of mine, Nicole, with me, who is an RPN, and we're going to talk about mental health. So hi, Nicole.
Hi.
So she is like works a lot with people with dementia right now.
In my previous role, I did work a lot with people with dementia. I worked in a retirement home. My current role is a little different, but it's more occupational health, which there are still some mental health capacities there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere in the corner of the world, there's mental health, and it's like coming more to light now, which I love, because a lot of people would hide their mental health. When I was younger, I'm not gonna like date myself, but I mean, I was born in the 70s, and I know, Nicole, you're not in your 20s, but we won't get into that. But I remember we would have to keep things quiet. Like, it was okay for us in my family as a girl to cry, but I never seen my father cry. Like, and they would have to hold it in. Like, you know, so it's great to see that mental health is becoming something that people are talking about more.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I would love to see what, like, my grandmother's 99 and she's in a home and she has dementia. And I would love to know, like, since we had to hide everything years ago, I wonder what the effects, I mean, there's no statistics out there or anything like that, but like, I wonder what our children, our teens, what their mental health is going to be when they're like in their 90s, like, because, you know, I wonder if it's just going to be a little, if dementia is going to look different because mental health is kind of something we talk about now, you know? So are they going to be like a healthier mental health wise?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Like, that very well could be the case. You know, everyone does talk so much more freely about how they feel when it comes to everything, and they're better at showing their emotions. So that could have a dramatic effect on our mental health as we age.
Yeah, like taking medications and stuff like that, because people would hide that they were taking medications because they felt shame that they were taking medications. Now, I mean, I love, both Nicole and I were Girl Guide leaders of the teenage years, and we got to like see how I felt that generation is definitely, they're more empowering to each other. Like, if you look at Instagram and someone posts a picture, they're very encouraging. I mean, there are the negative sides of that, but they are more encouraging to each other, I find, because, you know, even though they're just putting little like fires or something like that, but they are encouraging each other more. And I love that, you know, when you watch their stories on social media and stuff, that they're talking about, you know, like body empowerment and stuff, and that it's okay to have stretch marks and stuff like that. So I like when you talk about people with like bulimia and, you know, eating disorders and stuff like that, then I wonder if the numbers have gone down with this generation, because they're accepting of their bodies a little bit more and not having, like, you know, Christie Brinkley, I don't know, was she at, there's got to be more models out there that I don't really remember, but they were so perfect on covers. Like, you know, they're trying to show ads now. Have you seen the ad with the underwear? I don't know what that underwear, and they're like real women, like, you know, there's shaving stubble and everything there and stuff like that. So
for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, the ladies and the gentlemen with dementia, they probably really don't care about that stuff, but it's kind of like having a baby. You get to a certain age and you just forget it, you know? You know, when you have a baby, you really don't care what's going on. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be hard. Like, how has it been, not just with them, like your patients, but the stressors that you guys must have on both ends with the COVID?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting, COVID in itself was a beast. It still is. The amount, the toll on people's mental health from COVID, specifically, like, obviously working in healthcare, was amazing. And I don't mean amazing in a good way. I mean amazing in a terrible way. Just the burnout that happened from people. Like, my personal experience, I would cry.
Oh, I bet. So you're a mental health. Your mental health, and you're struggling with that. And that's probably something you're going to have to deal with for a really long time.
Yeah.
How about the patients? Because not having their families in there.
Yeah, for sure. That was so difficult on all of them. Like, we locked the door to everyone. They weren't even allowed to go. Like, they could go outside for a walk, but they couldn't see anyone. So, you know, they would struggle with that. And we as staff members would try our best to, you know, still make it a community. But a lot of things that were normal to them, like even eating in the dining room, mm-hmm. at one point had to stop, and they were eating in their like own suites. So that would, like, it was so isolating. So we would have to like implement other programs where we would have, you know, one-on-one visits, or just like things like, they would call it the tuck cart. So it'd be like candy bars and chips and things like that. It would go around, go room to room. So there would be some interaction with every person every day.
Wow.
Just trying to make it so that our residents didn't feel so isolated.
Yeah, because I mean, like, a lot of homes or nursing home and retirement homes have, like, my uncle actually goes into nursing homes and he plays his guitar and sings. So people volunteer to come in and paint nails. And then, you know, you have therapy animals that come in just to, I'm sure, like, maybe not your home, but like other homes I've seen this happening. And you wouldn't have had any of that. So they must be like, and you know, the sad part is these are their last few years.
Yeah.
And they can't be with their loved ones when they were getting to the point where they were passing. And then they're confused. And even patients with dementia wouldn't understand this at all. And the stress that you guys must had on them, because you became their family, but you're also trying to care for them. There's probably at a point where you're not liking your coworkers very much. I mean, it happens, right? Like, I, you know, I'd been into jobs where, you know, you've just been working with someone too much and they get on your nerves to the point, you know, because they're not, you know, they're just not your people, right? Like, you get along with them, you're professional, but when you've got all these stressors happening, how do you deal with them?
Right. And that's actually really interesting, because I think maybe we were fairly lucky. It seemed as though, you know, our general manager actually said things like, you know, we would throw all these dollars at team building exercises and trying to get everyone to work together, throw in a pandemic, and everyone works so well together.
Oh, that's awesome. So there's a benefit.
Like, yeah, it was like, actually, we had a common goal, right? Like,
right.
We had to keep, like, make sure that everyone stayed healthy and safe. And, you know, I think, like, it made everyone work better together.
That's
in our
good.
Instance, again, that doesn't always, it's not always the case. But.
Yeah. And the supervisor, their anxieties must have been through the roof, because like they have to worry about making sure that they're keeping all of you guys happy, because, you know, when you guys are happy, it filters down. It always filters down. I know a lot of bosses or leaders don't believe that this stuff filters down, but when when you have these anxieties or these, you know, different challenges that you have at the top, it's worse. It's 10 times worse at the bottom. And the bottom in your case is the patients. Yeah. So, you know, like there's probably going to be a lot of PTSD walking away in the healthcare from this. Now, PTSD, PTSD is just not a related to military. I know a lot of people think that it is, but I just want it out there that it's not. It can be, PTSD can be different for anybody. The situation, really, I think it's your fight or flight kind of level that you can withstand kind of thing. Some people could see a car accident or even have a loved one in a car accident that they never even seen and have PTSD from that. So you guys in this situation, we're going to have to look at, you know, extra therapies and extra workshops and stuff like that for the healthcare industry just to deal with what has happened.
Yeah. And there were a lot of great programs that were initiated at the beginning of COVID. I know, for example, that Waypoint had a service for any healthcare worker, and they could just call and they were like connected with a therapist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I do know of some people that had used that service and it was really helpful. And it was actually kind of an ongoing thing as well. It wasn't like a one and you're done.
Okay.
So,
but they were calling like therapists, like not face to face, obviously. Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Everything was done, just over the phone, and yeah, they would connect you with somebody and then you were able to have your sessions. So, you know, the feedback that I had heard from some people about that was that it, like, they were just so thankful that they had somebody to talk to who had like a common that common feeling, right? And that common, like, being in healthcare and knowing how it is affecting everyone at the time.
Yeah, because like when you have it's almost like when you're miserable, you almost want someone to be miserable with you so that it makes you feel better. Not that you want someone to be miserable, but but it just makes you feel like you're not alone, you know?
And that not being alone is the biggest thing, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that there are people there that have been there, that have got their way out, knowing that you're not alone and that it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know, they would, I'm sure a lot of healthcare workers, anybody, you know, that in the world that they're going through this pandemic, the stressors of like, you know, whatever's going on in their work and then going home to their families and then their families basically saying, no, it's not okay. I'm sure it's been led to divorces and that's probably caused even more on top of it and stuff like that. So I couldn't imagine being a healthcare worker and having a spouse that didn't support you and going through a divorce on top of all this other stuff. Like, you know, there's all sorts of things that can lead. Hopefully we don't see this huge snowball. You know, we're all coming out of what it feels like we're coming out of the pandemic now. People are getting vaccinated and, you know, or they just think that it's a conspiracy of some sort, which is a whole other podcast altogether. I feel that moods are starting to boost up. I'm actually going to be working at a camp in a few weeks. So I'm kind of like staying in my own little bubble. I'm not really trying to go out too much. When I do go out, it's pretty quick and stuff like that, which I'm sure a lot of healthcare workers have been more or less the same, trying not to. But my gosh, I kind of lost my train of thought, but like not going out too much and stuff like that. But I think that, you know what, I wasn't sure where I was going, but I more or less I was saying, you know, divorces and stuff like that, the stressors that the pandemic and everybody has gone through and they don't have the support at home, I can't imagine what it's going to happen in like a few more years. Like the snowball thing is what I was getting at. Like, I hope that the mood is feeling good for everybody now and that it doesn't come up and then fly back down again. Do you know what I'm saying? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all sorts of things, like we're like people in the pandemic missing out on like their exercise. Like you're a runner, are you not?
No, I would.
For some reason, I thought you were a runner.
I do lots of activities. Like I go for walks. I love paddling. So like kayaking, canoeing and things like that.
Yeah.
And just like spending a lot of time outdoors. I've recently taken up golf because we're allowed to be golfing.
Yes. Yeah. So those things been taken away.
Yeah.
And then you're dealing with all these other things. I'm hoping like we're not going to see, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm hoping we're not going to see people in eating disorders because they gained, like, you know, a lot of people have gained weight.
Yep.
You know, so is this going to, I'm hoping it's not, but I'm really glad that you've been able to continue on with your activity. I found it really hard with activity. I was a runner. Maybe that's why I thought you were a runner for some reason. But I was a runner and then I hurt my back and I couldn't run anymore. And when I couldn't run anymore, I had to find other activities. And I also have this weird allergy to the cold. So in the winter time, I can't go for a walk out on the street because I break out in hives. So unless I take like 5 antihistamines and then I'm sleeping anyways. So I used to go into malls and just go for a walk around the mall. Yeah. So, you know, exercise has been like a huge thing when it comes to your mental health for me because... You know, it's known that exercise helps with your mental health. But when you take that away, you throw in a pandemic, you throw in what you've got going on. I mean, you're a nurse in a very high stressful situation, and there's other jobs that, of course, like, you know, there's paramedics. Like I couldn't imagine. Well, I could, I guess, being 18 years in the military, it would just been a different, just a different kind of thing. But yeah. I'm like, it really, you know, I hope we don't see a backlash on this, like with the kids, the teens not being at school. Like my oldest, who would have graduated last year and missed her graduation and her prom and everything, that was heartbreaking for her.
Yep.
Heartbreaking. So she was really at her lowest, I want to say, then. And then she didn't go to college because college was put online and her roommate couldn't go because her program was canceled. So then she canceled even going to college. I think after that, everything that kind of fell like apart, she was just like, well, here's another thing. So it did give her a thick skin on that end. She's happy that we're digging our way out right now and we can kind of like, I think we're paddling with our lips above the water right now. And my son, he's actually loved not being at school. He is a very, he's a homebody. So how about you, your girls? 'Cause you have a couple daughters. How have you found them?
So I think some of the biggest things that we've really been missing in our house is, again, going back to those sports. And I think that this is going to be a really hard thing for some of the kids to go back to. Now, I know, like, my oldest daughter, she's 16, she's played hockey since she was 4, and the last season they didn't really get to do much, and I can just hear the attitude, and I don't mean bad attitude, I just mean she almost doesn't want to play again next year, and that's really sad because it was something that brought her so much joy.
Yeah.
But because there's been such a disruption.
For sure. My son gave up hockey too. He wasn't anywhere near your daughter level, but he gave it up because he was like, there's no point. It's like you have to, he wasn't a great player. So he was like, there's too much to worry about how close I am and all these rules when they were still playing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I totally get that because I don't know if it's developed, like they've developed kind of like, okay, now I can be lazy and now I'm in a mode and I've enjoyed my free time. And, you know, so yeah. So it will be interesting to see if kids give up sports.
Yeah. Like I'm sure there's still going to be a lot of kids that are really highly dedicated to their sports.
Yeah.
But there's going to be those kids that were just doing things just because they kind of liked it that might not return. And that's actually really sad for multiple reasons, right?
Yeah. I totally. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. I think then the other biggest challenge we had was just really the socialization, right? Having two teenage girls. Not being able to see their friends.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it was rough for us.
Yeah, and so. You know, thank God for social media. I mean, yes, there is some times where it's not a very much of a benefit, but thank goodness for social media because it's kept the kids and their friends to be able to be connected. Are they missing the one-on-one at school or do they enjoy the online?
I don't think they enjoy online. They do it because they have to, but they would rather be at school.
Okay. So I've got one, my oldest who is a social butterfly and would love to be at school. And the other one where he's very happy in his little bubble and he's actually really excelled in school, which I'm sure it's a very rare, but he's really excelling right now. So the pandemic has been kind of good for him. I mean, I like to try to find a little good in everything, but it's really hard with the pandemic. So we'll just run with that because, but I'm not saying even kids like him wouldn't have any mental health issues because he does love to go outside after school or after his studies and hang out with his friends and play hockey on the road or whatnot. And that's been, something that hasn't been there. So yeah. So I do want to get back. I know we're almost at the 30 minute mark and I do want to get back to, talking about, like PTSD and stuff like that. I know we kind of talked a little bit about that. I dealt with that with a lot of soldiers in the forces and, they came in and I would have to watch. And it is a really horrible thing to see. And I know prior to this, before we started recording, you were telling me a story about one of the ladies or gentlemen, I can't remember and I just wanted you to kind of like touch on that a bit
For sure. So, obviously working in a retirement home, we have a lot of seniors, some of whom were around during World War II. So there was this one lady who, whenever there was fireworks, would always hide because just the sound of it, of the fireworks, would bring her back to war times.
Mm-hmm.
And she was from the UK, so I don't really know what her story was, where she was, but
and a lot of times they don't like to tell their stories.
That was really hard for her, so
for sure. Like a lot of times they don't like to tell their stories or they keep them held in. I knew someone that was from in the military and they were a rocket hit next door to where they were sleeping. It was the middle of the night when it happened and the rocket hit and they didn't think they were affected at all, but they threw their flak jacket on. And actually what happened was is a piece of shrapnel hit their water bottle and the water bottle actually had really hot water in it, but it was gushing. So when they threw their flak jacket on, it was gushing and they thought they'd been hit. So they thought it was blood. And they were touching it and then realized it was water after a couple minutes because they tasted it and they were like, no, it's water. But they went on their way and that person couldn't sleep, really was having a hard time sleeping, but they felt they weren't affected until they got home. And one time there was lightning And which I'm sure that lady would have probably had a problem with the same thing. And lightning hit their home and it made this huge bang. And they dove to the ground and started crawling across the ground and screaming at everybody to get down because it was going on. So with the dementia, did she have dementia? I'm sorry, did you say? Or was she?
She did have some dementia. Okay. As well, yeah.
And it would come back to her, that situation. Would it?
Yeah. Wow. Sure. So, and then what would kind of happen is to help, you know, bring her back, we would actually end up showing her newspapers with the current date on it.
Wow. That's,
and that would actually help her realize that
that's,
it wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And did she argue with you at all, or would she...
No, she wouldn't argue much. Okay. I think she was just a little scared, which...
Yeah, oh, of course, because yeah. She's thinking that she's back in a wartime situation and that her life is on the line. And my friend that this all went through, I was actually there when the lightning hit. So I seen the situation happen and the terror that was going on in their eyes. And the situation was real, 100%. They were in Canada. They were on safe grounds. No COVID even going on. But, you know, because this was years ago. But the fright in their eyes, and the exhaustion afterwards, you know, like that, it's just not something that you can just go through and not, because the adrenaline that's pumping through your body and whatnot, you've got to really learn how to use coping mechanisms, like to de-stress yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
So like, you know, meditation. I did a mindfulness course once, and that was really great, and just went for a walk on the grass and felt the grass on the bottom of my feet. Now, trying to talk to someone that's going through a panic moment, probably going through that, not the greatest thing, but or be able to get them to do that in that moment after a couple minutes maybe, but I don't know. We all just have to, I guess we all learn our ways of coping, and some people cope with things a little bit better. You know, some people just hit the road and run. I've had moments before, just having an anxiety disorder from being in the military. I've had moments, because my confidence level at that time in my life was so low. I've had moments where I have done the flight, and not the fight, the fight or flight mode, because, you know, I didn't have that confidence. You know, I had to build my confidence up again just to be able to deal with those issues. And I'd imagine that lady that would be going through that in that moment, there's just, you know, how do you even, you know, like it's just not something that you can snap out of easily.
No, not at all.
No. It's going to be interesting the next couple of years to see how everybody has dealt with this. We may have the same after effects as that lady does from the war. So hopefully, I wish all of you and all of your colleagues and all the healthcare workers and anybody that's had any dealings that, you know, have been a little bit more of a stress than other people in COVID, because it's been pretty stressful regardless of being in those professions. But I really hope all the best, and that it, my fingers are crossed for you guys. And I hope that you also get the support from the general public, because not everybody has been supportive. You see that even when people are dealing with the clerks at the grocery stores. But I wanted to thank you, because we've got a minute left, and I wanted to thank you for joining me today. Thanks and sharing experience. I mean, we could keep going and going and going on different topics on mental health. And I'd love to have you back another time, because I think we only really touched like not even very much, right? So, but thank you very much, Nicole, for joining me.
You're welcome.
And this is Yeah, and I'm going to have you back. But this is Mother's Envy, and thank you very much for joining us tonight. And we hope you all have a good night and stay safe. Thank you.